Proverbs chapter 11, one verse tonight as you've got your sheet. Notice verse 2, something we touched on earlier, but we'll touch on it again here because it is throughout the book of Proverbs. Notice we read Proverbs 11, 2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is, there's that word again, wisdom.
Amen.
With the lowly is wisdom. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love to us, the joy to know you as Savior, and to know that you're coming again and that you're still on the throne. And help us to be, Lord, a people of hope, knowing that you're still working in this world. And Father, we trust that you want to work in our hearts tonight, all of us, on this subject, because you've brought us here, as you said in your word, for such a time as this. And so I pray, Lord, that we would have ears to hear. I pray we'd remove any things that perhaps is distracting our minds tonight, and we'd set those things aside and have our minds and hearts fixed upon thee. Yes. And so please fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit as we discuss and look at this subject that is so important. Perhaps we could call it a mother sin to many, many other sins. And so please give us understanding of thy word and thy wisdom tonight. Yes, we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Well, there was a September 10th, 2018 article written by a woman by the name of Andrea Estrada. It was posted on this website called Futurity. And I found it because it kind of related to the subject tonight. But the article kind of caught my eye when it said, as its title, How Pride Actually Benefits the Greater Good. I thought, well, that's interesting. I think I want to read a little bit of that, and I did. And in the article, she writes, quote, pride may not be such a bad thing, according to new research. Aren't you loving this new research we're having about everything? Anyway, in fact, back to the article, it may be how humans stay connected. She cites the results of an in-depth study on pride done by the National Academy of Sciences, which is a liberal evolution-embracing group. And listen to what this group said. Quote, human nature evolved to have pride, researchers argue, because it served an important function for our foraging ancestors. In making choices, humans had to weigh their own individual self-interest against winning the approval of others. A person who only did what others wanted would be taken advantage of. Thus, pride is the evolved solution to this problem. So it keeps you from being taken advantage of if you're not prideful. It goes on to say, quote, it is the neurally based motivational system that is a part of our species biology. Boy, we talk about trying to make it sound scientific. Humans are uniquely cooperative species, so pride leads people to do many valuable things for each other. And the article finished kind of near the end with this. Thus, pride is more a win-win than it is a sin. Oh, you're barking up the wrong tree now. You know, that's what the world's saying about pride. They say it's a good thing. But that's not what the Bible says.
Amen.
Not at all. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the exact opposite. Notice our verse in verse 2. When pride cometh, and this is again just the tip of the iceberg in the Bible. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Tonight I want to look at this subject of pride, and I've given this message the title, as you see on your handout tonight, The Wisdom of Recognizing and Rejecting Pride.
Amen.
If we're going to be wise people, we have to be able to recognize in our own lives pride and then reject it.
Amen.
As you know, we've been dealing with this subject, this series I've entitled Wisdom from Above. I got the thought from reading James chapter 3 and verse 13 through 17. I saw this contrast that was there, this contrast between wisdom from above that we read James under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit speaking of. And then he talks about the wisdom from this world. And we see and we understand that these two wisdoms are diametrically opposed to one another. They're on two total different ends of the spectrum. Wisdom from above is God's wisdom, our Creator's wisdom. Amen. The one who created everything. It's described as pure and peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The wisdom of this world, or should I say so-called wisdom of this world, that's man's wisdom. That's described by God as earthly, as sensual, as devilish, and it produces bitter envying and strife and confusion. And so we have these two options to choose from as we journey through this thing called life. And as believers, we have to choose. And God implores us to choose to live by His wisdom and not by the world's wisdom. Amen. But again, the choice is yours. You make it. And we're going to sleep in the bed that we make, amen, by whatever we pick. So tonight's subject is the subject of pride. And so the question tonight is obviously following the pattern we've been following is, are we going to live by what God says about pride, or are we going to live by what man says about pride? Are we going to use God's wisdom about pride or man's wisdom? So tonight, let's lay this thing out and see if we can't figure out what does God say about pride. And much of this, I'm sure you already know, but also how to recognize it and how do we handle it. Number one, would you write this down? The meaning of pride. The meaning of pride. Now notice our verse again, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. And so there's that word again in the book of Proverbs, pride. Pride is a subject that is dealt with extensively in the Bible. The word pride or proud and its forms are found in 93 verses in the Bible. What's interesting is that most of them are found in the Old Testament. 84 of them in the Old Testament and only 9 in the New Testament. But 13 of those 84 in the Old Testament are found right here in the book of Proverbs. So Proverbs has a good amount to say about pride. Pride is first mentioned in the Bible. And by the way, when you talk about the first mention principle, it's where God establishes a principle on a subject the first time he mentions it, and then he develops it later in Scripture. But he kind of declares it and lays out what he thinks about it in that first mention of it in the Bible. And we find it first mentioned in Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 19, where God says, "And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass." Sounds like God's a little bit upset about this thing called pride. Amen. So in the first mention of it in the Bible, we see that God is judging, or saying he's going to judge pride. The first mention of it in the book of Proverbs, we saw it a bit ago in Proverbs chapter 6. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination to him. The first one being a proud look. Then he goes on to say a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. And then the last mention of it in the Bible, we'll go back to this verse a little bit later, 1 Peter 5:5, "Likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." So notice it's like bookends, the first mention and the last mention. The first one, God talks about judging pride in Leviticus, and he's saying the same thing all the way at the end of the Bible in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. And all throughout the Bible, every single time, pride is mentioned in a negative way. I personally don't like to use that word in the way the world does. I don't like to say I'm proud of this and I'm proud of that. You do what you want. That's okay. I just don't like it because the way the Bible talks about it here. God hates pride, and so I don't be proud of anything. Amen? So that's just my thoughts on it. But what exactly is pride? What is it exactly? What is its definition? Hey, you want to do something interesting? Get on your computer and go to your Google search and type in the word pride. Think about it for a moment. Pride. What do you think is going to pop up? Oh, I'll tell you. No, not lions, okay? No, not at all. You would find that nearly every single search result that comes up has to do with the sodomite movement. It's unbelievable. Because the sodomite movement has adopted the word pride as their banner word. That's what they use. They have things like Pride Month. They have pride parades. They write about the history of pride and celebrating pride. You see, to them, pride means this. And I read this on one of the sites there. It means the fight for continued recognition of basic human rights. That's how they see it. In other words, they see sodomy as a human right. Now, let me go on a little rabbit trail here, if you don't mind. Sodomy is not a human right. Sodomy is a sinful action. That's what the Bible teaches, just like adultery is a sinful action. Child abuse is a sinful action. And any other sin. There's no sin that's a human right. Amen. We don't have a right to sin. Sin is wrong. And since we're on the subject, I might as well go a little further down the trail. God says that sodomy is a vile affection, according to Romans 1:29. God says it goes against nature, according to Romans 1:29 as well. Romans 1:27 calls it shameful and indecent. Leviticus 18:22 says it's an abomination to God. And we know throughout the entire Bible and throughout history, it summons the judgment hand of God every single time.
Amen.
There's nothing to be proud about that. Right. Nothing at all. But really, that's what the world thinks when they think of pride. Many of them think of the sodomite movement. Some think, well, it's a good thing. I'm proud and have pride in this and in that. But what does the Bible say and what is the definition? So letter A, let's look at God's definition of pride. Now, there's several words in the Bible, Hebrew and Greek words, that are used, translated pride. The Old Testament Hebrew word, if you're interested in that sort of thing, is the word zadon. The New Testament Greek word, one of them, is tufu and huperphanos. Both of them, all of them really mean the same thing. And I wrote it down for you, so you have it there. Notice the words, all those words mean this, to be arrogant. To be arrogant. That doesn't sound like a good thing to me. To be haughty. To be lofty. Notice, to see yourself. Pride is when you see yourself, or I see myself, as superior to others. As above others. Or I look down upon somebody. Or I have an inordinate love of myself. All of that is the definition of pride. So pride really is someone who is consumed with themselves. It is someone that their primary concern is with number one, you know, them. It's a me problem. It's an I problem, the letter I, not an E-Y-E problem. It is a self-sufficiency problem. It is a self-absorption problem. It is an I'm better than others problem. You fill in the blank. I'm more talented. I'm smarter. I'm better looking than others, whatever the case may be. When you think that, that is an issue of pride. Now, can I bring us down for a moment and remind us tonight something that God said about what we have in 1 Corinthians 4:7? He says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another?" Well, the answer is God, right? "And what hast thou that thou didst not receive?" The answer is nothing. "And now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it?" My point is this, anything we have, whatever it may be, a little intelligence, maybe you can do a few things, that has been given to you by God. And we ought to be thankful for it, not be prideful because of it. And the Bible is very clear, again and again throughout the scriptures, we read that God hates pride. I mean, he hates it. He doesn't say, "I don't like that." I hate it. That's the word that God uses. Proverbs 8:13. "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." Amen.
Amen.
So is it something God hates? I better figure out what it is and make sure that I'm not doing whatever that is. Now, there are many characters in the Bible that displayed pride. Some of the stories are almost you chuckle at because of the way they behaved and how we see poetic justice in the Bible of God, you know, taking care of it. But all of them to their detriment and some even to their destruction. All because of pride. The king of pride, if you don't mind me saying it that way, small k, of course, is the god of this world, Lucifer.
Amen.
He is, Isaiah chapter 14, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Oh, my soul, those are words of pride. Notice the pronouns. Whenever you see the I and me and my, and whenever you hear that coming out of your mouth or I hear it coming out of my mouth, I need to watch out because there's probably some pride in there if I'm talking about me and my stuff and that sort of thing. Ezekiel 28:15, about Lucifer as well. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. And we know what his iniquity was. His iniquity was pride. Then I think of another person in the Bible. We can think of a lot, but let me give you a few here. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Oh, listen to what he said in Daniel 4:30. Here we go again. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. God judged him for his pride. One of them, perhaps, I think, anyway, I just read this recently in my devotions, the story of Esther. I always laugh when I read about Haman. I mean, that guy, I mean, he had it coming. And I'll tell you, in the days of Esther 3:5, and when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. All others were bowing down. And here's this one Jewish man named Mordecai not bowing down. And he got so angry at that, so much so, he wanted to kill him. What was going on inside of Haman? Pride. It was a problem of pride. I think of Herod in Acts chapter 12. You know the story in verse 21. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not a man. I'd imagine after they were saying that, I could see Herod's face and a little smile on his face, kind of happy of what they were saying, calling him, oh, they're calling me a god. Well, he didn't smile for too long because the Bible says, and immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. My point is this. The reason I said all those examples was this. It gives you an idea of what they were and what happened to them, of what God thinks about pride. We need to watch out for it. So we see God's definition of pride. Then we see letter B, God's description of pride. Oh, you could go through the Bible and read the verses on pride. As I said, there's probably about 90-some of them, Old Testament, New Testament, proud and pride and all of that. And there's some things that the Bible clearly says about pride. The first one, and you could write some of these down if you want. The first one is this. It's a sin. It is a sin.
Right.
Proverbs 21:4, and high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin.
Amen.
So understand, if you have a pride problem, don't excuse it on something else. Don't say, well, that's just my personality. You know, that's just the way I am. Or don't blame it on the culture. You know, everybody's like that. Don't say it's a nationality problem. You know, I'm an Italian, or I'm a this, I'm from Poland. I don't know, you name it. No, it's a sin problem.
Amen.
It's a sin problem. It's not a bad habit. It is a sin. It's what characterizes the world. When God was describing all that is in the world, one of the things he described was pride. 1 John 2:15, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of of the Father, but is of the world. God says that pride stuff is of the world. It should not be seen in my people. It's the world that has pride. Then another thing I was noticing as I was reading through some verses is that God, pride causes man to not seek God. Psalm 10 and verse 4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You ever witness to someone, try to lead them to the Lord, you give them the gospel, well, they're not interested. One of the problems many times is pride. We always say, and this is true, it's just a fact. I'm not being prejudiced in any way. Sometimes you go to some of the more wealthy neighborhoods and they're harder to reach with the gospel. You don't see as many professions of faith. That is a statistical fact. Although I don't have numbers with me tonight, anyone that's been out, you know that. Why is that? Because many think they don't need God. I'm good. What do you mean? I have everything I want. Who needs a God when I have this kind of house or this kind of car? And again, not everybody's like that. But certainly, when someone is affected by pride, it's hard for them to get saved. Matter of fact, I'll go ahead and say it's impossible to be saved with a prideful heart because you have to admit I'm a sinner.
Amen.
And that takes humility.
Right.
You have to say, I'm lost and on my way to hell before you can get saved. And so if you refuse to do that and you say, not me, I'm good enough, this and that, this excuse and that excuse, the problem is pride.
Amen.
Also, we could apply that, that it causes man to not seek God with restoration. Sometimes people go off of the deep end and they get caught up in sin and they don't want to come back to church and get right with God. Why is that? Pride. What will people think? Well, the truth is, we'd be happy if you came back and got right with God. Just like if I was away from the Lord and I came back, I hope you'd be happy that I did the same thing. But I have to humble myself. We'll get to that a little bit later. Pride also leads to men to self-deception. They start thinking, deceiving themselves about who they are. Jeremiah 49:16. These are all parts of those blanks. You can write whatever you want there. Thy terribleness hath deceived thee, and the pride of thine heart, O thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock. Talking about, I believe it was Edomites and Petra there, that holdest the height of the hill, though thou shouldest make thy nest as high as an eagle. Those Edomites that were in Petra, that built those their buildings, if you will, in the side of the mountain there, and they got up real high. When people invaded them, they weren't touched. Guess what? They were very prideful. Can't touch us, ha ha ha. And God says, oh no, I can touch you. And they were being prideful. So again, pride is an evil, destructive thing. And those who are guilty of pride, listen to some of the things, and I know I'm shooting a bunch out tonight, but that's all right. Some of the things God said he'll do to them. God said he would resist the proud.
Amen.
James 4:6. He said he promised in Psalm 18:23 that he would bring the proud low. He promised that.
Right.
He said that he would abase them in Daniel 4:37. He said he will punish them in Zephaniah 2, 10, and 11. Again, all because of pride. I'm trying to get across the idea here tonight in my own heart and your heart that pride is a serious thing.
Amen.
It is a serious thing. Oh, I'm not out there carousing the town. I'm not drinking beer and I'm not partying and doing drugs. No, but are you prideful? That's just as bad. In fact, worse, according to what God says. He says he hates it. It's an abomination. It's one of the things that he lists. Proverbs 15:25. Listen to what God says. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Proverbs 16:5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Again, I'm trying to show us. This is what God says about pride. That's what pride is. So I ask you tonight, do you have the wisdom of God that says, yeah, I see pride is a really bad thing? Or are you embracing the wisdom of the world? Well, it's a big deal. Pride, yeah. Get the wisdom of God and see it for what it is. So we see, number one, the meaning of pride. Number two, let's talk about the manifestation of pride. Now, God, go over to Romans chapter 12. I don't have this verse written down here. I wrote it down a little bit after I printed this stuff out. But Romans chapter 12, and go to verse 3. God warns both the unbeliever and the believer about the dangers of pride. Now, look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. This is to believers. We read, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you," here it is, "not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." You see, pride is when we're not thinking of ourselves biblically and properly. We're not seeing ourselves as God sees us. We see ourselves as better than that. And there's a problem there. So how can pride be manifested? How is it manifested in my life and in your life? There's a zillion ways, and I'm not going to cover too many, but I was thinking about a few here. So let's look at these. Again, this is just a few of many, and I'm sure you could have a list yourself. Here's some things that a prideful person will do. Letter A, a prideful person will abuse his power or leadership position. Now we understand God puts men in leadership. He puts them in the home in leadership, people in leadership. The man in the home, of course, he gives, you may lead a class of ladies, a Sunday school class for the kids, or you might do something, whatever. But whatever it may be, thinking of the office of the pastor, though, we read in 1 Timothy 3:6, he says, "Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil." God understands that if a young person gets a position of authority, whatever may be the pastoral position or whatever, there is a tendency in a young person to abuse that position, to abuse that leadership, not respecting it. You say, how will he do that? Well, a prideful leader, and by the way, this isn't just for the young, it's for the older too. Anybody can do this. But a prideful leader will look down upon people. A prideful leader will talk down to people. A prideful leader will take advantage of those that he is ruling over, if you will, or leading. He will treat people, a prideful leader will treat people unkindly and disrespectfully, and he will use people. And I say he, it could be a she, it could be a teacher, it could be, again, someone in the ministry, it could be a government leader, it could be anybody in authority, a policeman, anything, you name it. Again, he takes that leadership position and he abuses it. That is what pride does. Many times he thinks he has the right to do it. Why? Because he's the leader and he misunderstands leadership. And so he uses his position to get his way. Again, fathers and husbands can do this as well. He will apply the rules to everyone else but himself. And the leader's problem is pride. So one way it's manifested, a prideful person will abuse his power or leadership position. Then number two, also a prideful person will refuse to admit wrongdoing. They'll refuse to admit wrongdoing. Proverbs 13:10. Listen to this, a verse I've used quite often in counseling. It's one of those verses like 1 Timothy 6 that the love of money is the root of all evil. That's a powerful verse. Well, this is kind of on the same level. Proverbs 13:10 says this, "Only by pride cometh contention." Only. Amen. "But with the well-advised is wisdom." Right. Why is it that people that disagree just keep going at it? I've seen it in husbands and wives. We've seen it in counseling sessions and so forth. "Well, I know this, and I know this," and back and forth they go. And they can never say, "Well, you do this, and you do this, and we argue about this." You know what the problem is here? I'll tell you what it is. It's real easy, and I've said this in counseling sessions. Pride. And they go, "What? What do you mean pride?" Yeah, and I take them to this verse, "Only by pride cometh contention." Amen. Because you two, you can't settle this because both of you have to be right. You refuse to be wrong. That's where the problem is. You refuse at least to yield to the other person. You see, a prideful person will never admit he's wrong. A prideful person will never admit he's made a mistake. A prideful person is hard to deal with. He would rather fight and argue and debate to prove that he's right and didn't do anything wrong. He'd rather do that than just admit it. The problem is pride. Right. By the way, that's why prideful people, and I understand there's health reasons people don't do this, but prideful people won't come to the altar. I'm not doing that. I'm not coming to the altar. What do people think? And what I'm not admitting. Even if the message or something that came out of God's word, I mean, smote their heart and they need to get right with the Lord. Not me. I'm not doing it. Prideful people find it very difficult to say, I'm sorry. They find it difficult to say, would you forgive me? Prideful people don't like to listen to other people's ideas. They don't want to listen to someone else's perspective on things. Why is that? Because they don't want to hear it. Because they're right. That's why. The problem is pride. And I've said this already, that prideful people can't get saved because they need to admit their condition until they get over that pride, at least concerning salvation. So again, a prideful person abuses his power, leadership position. He also refuses to admit wrongdoing. And then a third thing, letter C, a prideful person will have a need for a title or a position. They want that. I got to have one. Go over to James chapter 4, and we'll go here a little bit later. But James chapter 4 in verse 10, the Bible says, notice, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Watch this. And he shall lift you up. God will lift you up. Amen. You don't have to lift up yourself. You don't have to strive for that title or that position. Tell you what, just humble yourself and let God do it. God will take care of it. You see, prideful people don't want to wait for God to give them a position. They long for a position. They long for a title. They want to be noticed. They want to have that nameplate on the door. They want the attention. They want to be looked up to. You see, for a prideful person, it's not good enough to just serve the Lord quietly, unnoticed by others. They have to be somebody. They have to be a position or some sort of title. I heard a preacher once say this. I thought it was very wise, and I've carried the statement with me for a long time here. He was talking about the office of a deacon, and he said this. He said, if a person is spiritual enough to be a deacon, then he's spiritual enough to not be a deacon.
Amen.
That's a good statement, isn't it? He doesn't have to be a deacon. If he's qualified to be a deacon, guess what? He's not going after it. He's not trying to be one, you know? And I thought that was good. You see, while there are many, many more manifestations of pride, and those are just a few of the common ones. I was reading another article where one author wrote, it was a Christian author. He wrote about, these are some of the characteristics of pride. Here's what he said. A prideful person is egotistical, opinionated, judgmental, envious, fault-finding, arrogant, covetous, greedy, hard-headed, and vain. Those are good, any of those. Amen. Awful quiet in here, but amen. I'll go ahead and amen it myself. Amen. Those are good words right there, all right? Question is this, has pride overcome you? We all struggle with it. We all do. It's in there. Adam's there. Adam loves himself. Adam doesn't do any wrong, right? Adam's awesome, right? Yeah, it's in there. We got to deal with it. We struggle with it, okay? So how do we fix it? Well, that's where we're at right now. So we see the meaning of pride, the manifestation of pride. And then number three, what's the medicine for pride? Well, we go back to our verse, and that's kind of where I got the idea of this message, if you will. Notice, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. We're back at our home verse here. Here it is. But with the lowly is wisdom.
Amen.
What is the medicine? I had to use an M word. It's fine. It's right. Just bear with me. It's all right. It's not the end of the world. Right? The medicine for pride is this. Here it is. Humility.
Amen.
It's humility.
Amen.
It is having a lowliness of mind. It is having an accurate biblical view of who you and who I really am. Who we are. And what we would be without the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's humbling right there.
Amen.
Do you know Christ was lowly?
Praise the Lord.
Christ, the God of heaven.
Amen.
Jehovah God Almighty, who took upon the form of a flesh,
Amen.
Came to this earth. He could have came as a king. And he's coming again as a king, by
Praise
the way.
The Lord.
But when he came the first time,
Amen.
He came as a lowly servant. humble. Matthew 11:29, take my yoke upon you, the Lord said, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Amen. Zechariah 9:9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly. Amen. You see, we as the world doesn't see it, that here comes the king. Where is he? He's lowly.
Amen.
What do you mean he's lowly? He's a king. That's right. That's God's wisdom. He said he's lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. I said this in a service or a message before. You know, the kings of the world rode horses. God's kings rode mules. Why is that? To keep them humble. That's why. It's a picture of Christ. They understood that God wanted them to understand to be king is to be the servant, is to be the lowly one, is to be the humble one. And by the way, not only did Jesus come like that way, he directs us to be the same. That's the way we're supposed to be in this world. Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves.
Amen.
Philippians 2:5, you know the verses, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. He says, let this mind be in you.
Amen.
Don't think I want to be king. I want to be the man of the hour. No, we should want to be the servant. You see, this world is impressed by the man who commands others. They're impressed by the man who wields his sword of authority around, who acts important and looks important and barks out orders to people, and they jump and they move and they thrust themselves into action because this person has spoken. And the world looks at that and says, wow, if I only were like him. The world's impressed by that. They're impressed by the man that tells. I tell you, I maybe it's just, I don't know. But we live in this generation is getting more and more prideful. There's more and more pride around. I mean, it used to be when someone played a sport and they interviewed them, you know, they said, well, you know, we're very thankful my teammates helped out and it was a good thing. You very rarely see that anymore. And now it's all about me and how great I am, and I'm the best player around here. If you don't like me, I'm going to go to another team, and whoever has the highest bidder, that's for me, you know. I'm going to get paid the most. Stop. Stop already. People say how great they are and how wonderful they are and how they deserve this, and I should be the MVP, and I should be on the cover of this magazine, or I should be this, or I should be that. Or we tell everyone, wait, well, you should watch my YouTube video, or subscribe to my channel, or follow me, or like me, whatever you call that junk. That'll make me somebody. You know what? God's not impressed with that.
Right.
At all. Not at all. Zero. None of it.
Right.
Matter of fact, he hates it.
Amen.
He does. And he resists that person.
Amen.
You see, our God is impressed by the man who doesn't need the attention. Our God is impressed by the man who does not need the fanfare. He doesn't need to be noticed. He doesn't need to be the center of attention. He's not looking for accolades. He's not looking for a title. He's not looking for a position. He's impressed with that man that just wants to humbly serve the Lord.
Amen.
And be used of God.
Amen.
That's who God's impressed by. That man who sees others better than himself. That man who serves others before he serves himself. That man who doesn't have to have his way all the time, that puts the needs of others around him before his own needs, and treats others, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done to him or said about him, he treats all with kindness and respect and dignity. That's the man that God's going to bless.
Amen.
Because he hates pride. Go back to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, and we're winding it down right here. Notice verse 6. James chapter 4 and verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Amen. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness.
Amen.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up.
Amen.
1 Peter 5:5, I read it already, I'll read it again. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So which wisdom are you going to embrace? The world's? I'll tell them, I'll give them the one for you. And me, I'm here, the king's here. Are you going to be that humble servant? Which leads me to the last thing. We're done right here. Number four. Not only, number one, the meaning of pride. Number two, the manifestation of pride. Number three, the medicine for pride. And that is humility. Number four, the mandate for humility. I got to bring you full circle here. I'm going somewhere. Because all of this leads to this question. Because what we said this was this. We saw what God says pride is, the definition. We see his description of pride, how he hates it. We see how it's manifested in us. And we need to be humble, which leads us to this question. How do we humble ourselves? How do I become humble?
Amen.
How do I become lowly? How do I do that? Because that's the key to the cure to pride.
Right.
I have to be lowly. I have to be humble. So what do I do? What do I do? Well, it's one simple answer. You ready? It's simple. It's this. Death to self. There it is.
Amen.
The mandate for humility is this. Self must die. You must die. You know what I mean by that. Don't go doing something dumb, okay? Self must be crucified. The I problem must go away. Watch this. Every moment of the day, because guess what? Tries to rear its ugly head all the time.
Amen.
All the time.
Right.
1 second, I'm all right. And the next thing you know, here comes Mr. Pride. Here comes Adam. Wants to sit on the throne again. Paul said it this way, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
I'm going to conclude with this. Years ago, I went to a pastor's college. I used to go down there a lot in Tennessee. I had him at Crown College for years. I really enjoyed him. One of the years we were there, I was given this, we were all given this little book. I'm not sure if that's one of the ones you had gone to as well, or maybe Mr. Horn. But we were given this book, a booklet that Dr. Lee Robertson said this about the booklet. He said, this little booklet changed my life. So that sparked my attention.
Amen.
Any book that someone says it changed my life, if it's a Christian man that I respect, I want to, okay, what's the book?
Right.
I want to, just curious. I know the Bible, I know. Sorry, Mr. Halo shiners. I know it's the Bible. I get it. But there are some good things written that God uses, all right? But it was written in England by B. McCall Barber. The title of the book was a question, a booklet. It was this. When did you die? Good question, isn't it? The idea was this in the whole booklet. If you and if we want to be used of God to our full potential.
Amen.
God used a donkey in the Bible. He can use just about anybody.
Amen.
Right? And I know even vacillating at times, he still uses us. Praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
But if we want to be used to our full potential for God, self must die.
Amen.
It's a mandate. It's the mandate of humility. And unless self dies, we will never reach our potential for God.
Amen.
One last verse, we're done. John chapter 12, and we're done.
Amen.
Listen to what the Lord Jesus said here. This is it. This is what he was saying. Look at verse 24. I want us all to see this. Excuse me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, here it is. except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die,
Amen.
It abideth alone. But if it die, bringeth forth much fruit.
Amen.
It's an amazing thought. I was a little kid. I remember we had peaches. You know, I didn't know any better. We're eating peaches. I said, Mom, what's this? She said, that's the seed. That's the seeds in there. I said, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's how you grow another tree. I said, okay. So, she went away, and I went and put it in the ground. And I was waiting for it to come up. Never came up. You know why? It didn't die. It had to die. That's the miracle of God.
Amen.
That's the wisdom of God. God says, let it die. I will make fruit come out of that thing.
Amen.
If it doesn't die, I'm not going to. It's the same with you and me in the Christian life. He says, I want to use you. I want to use you for my glory. But you got to get rid of that pride.
Right.
It's not about you. It's about me.
Amen.
You have to die to self. You have to be humble. And if you die, boy, I'll tell you what. I'm going to use you to produce so much fruit.
Amen.
But you got to die. Amen. It's almost an oxymoron, is it? Or a paradox, is it? A paradox. You die and you produce fruit. Yeah. That's the wisdom of God.
Amen.
So, how are you going to go through life? Like them? Me, 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 I, me, me, me. Or lowly and humble.
Amen.
Dead to self.
Praise the Lord.
Letting God use you to produce fruit.
Amen.
I say, if we choose the wisdom of God, man,
Amen.
What God could see done through this church.
Amen.
If we would just die.
Amen.
Amen.